Oh shit. Oh shit. That's what you get. That's what you get. Changing your mind. Oh shit. I hope you took your fucking alpha brain today, cocksucker. It's Wednesday, November 21st. A beautiful fucking day to be alive here. The Church of Wood. Take a leap. Oh shit. Stop. Oh shit. Oh, stop it. Don't belong to you. No. Oh shit. George Michael, Lee Zayat, aka the Flying Fucking Jew, Joey Coco Diaz, the Church of What's Happening Now, motherfuckers, today. I wasn't doing blow, I just didn't blow my nose. Sometimes, you know what I'm saying? You come out of the shower, you're all fucked up. It's a beautiful day to be alive. Fat man alert! Fat man alert! This is the day. Today it starts. They're gonna try fucking with you as a fat dude. Watch your points, watch your back. You know, eat one cookie instead of 19. They're going to be food all over the place. People are going to hand you sodas. It's going to be like an orgy for fucking fat people. It starts today till January 2nd. You wake up, you don't fit in your fucking Christmas clothes. The pajamas, you're out of breath, you're huffing and puffing. Fuck it. So it starts today. What's happening, Lee Syatt, you bad motherfucker, you?
Nothing. I feel great, man.
It's a beautiful day. Lee walks in. I've been up since 3 in the afternoon.
No, he I've been out since 3 in the afternoon.
He goes to the fucking dentist before work. All of a sudden, he wants to be Johnny fucking Tooth, whatever, Ferry.
No dentist I know is open at 5 a.m.
Well, you gotta do it on an off day. You can go to the dentist on Saturdays.
What dentist is open on a Saturday?
Talk to my wife right down the corner there. They hook you up. All you gotta do is ask.
All right.
You think Jews don't work Saturdays? Things are bad all over. I know that Lee only goes to Jewish fucking dentists, which I don't blame you. You know, it's fucking crazy to walk in there and see like some fucking guy with an afro working on your fucking teeth. You're like, what happened here?
I don't know what it was. Everyone on my insurance was Hindu. Like every dentist.
Oh yeah, there's Hindus are making a cut. You go to a hospital lately, God forbid. Knock on fucking wood. You walk in, I've said this 1,000 times. You walk in, it's like 3 or 4 white people. They're all happy. You know, the lady at the front is usually black, the one that checks you.
Yeah, of course.
Once you go upstairs.
She's the one that's going to front of my face.
Right. Well, no, not that one. Once you go upstairs, you've got 4 or 5 white people that are very nice. They sit you down. They do your paperwork. Once they send that little fucking Japanese chick, because that chick ain't white either. That chick's like Japanese or something. Once they send her out to grab you and they walk you into the back, you've gone to the third world nation, the fucking hotel. I don't know if you realize that. They only have white people in the front. Then you go on the back and a little Hindu comes and takes your blood out. Then a Japanese guy puts your IV in. I mean, everybody, there's no white people left no more in the hospital. It's tremendous. I don't know what the fuck happened. I love it. Then you go into a trance. The doctor's white. You go into a trance. They fucking cut you open. Then you wake up in recovery. You wake up in recovery. That's when you go into Filipino land. You think you're in a apocalypse now, right now, at that point. You got chickens running around the fucking emergency room. It's amazing. You wake up, they're all bowing to Marlon Brando. You never seen that Apocalypse Now with a bunch of Asians? Don't fuck with me, Lee. Not today. It's Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving and shit.
I've seen both versions, man.
Oh, which one you seen? The original and the Redux?
Yeah, I saw both.
What's the difference between the Redux?
It's like 40 minutes longer. It's
and what's crazy. The scene that they added that they didn't take out?
I don't remember.
You don't, but you're slipping, cocksucker.
What is it?
The scene when they hook up with the French, I think, and they go to dinner.
Okay.
With a bunch of friends. Who gives a fuck? You know what? Whenever I watch it sometimes, I don't like that part anyway. That's how it comes on AMC.
Okay.
It comes on with the Redux. My wife likes that version, too. I can't. I'd rather, you know, 3 hours is enough. You got to add an extra 40 fucking minutes?
Yeah.
3 hours is enough. Not, oh, shit. I got a fucking lollipop here. Butterscotch to start my day off. I got nothing. This is, I don't even know what the fuck these are. I went over to the weed store yesterday. Mm-hmm. Because yesterday at Divine Wellness, you know, like I told you, Divine Wellness, no, don't fuck around when it comes to edibles. And Tuesday is my edible day. It's acupuncture. I walked to the Y.
Okay.
I threw some weights around for about an hour. I came home. I had tuna and fucking lettuce. And then I went to acupuncture. And on the way back, I went over to, I had to go give some clothes. I cleaned out my closet yesterday. Mm-hmm. Only the first half, you know. And I took it over to the benefit people from New Jersey.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, well, you know, you can only help so much. My friend said that there's a place you send it to, so I went over to UPS.
And that's probably a good way to do it, because they can't take money out of your clothes.
Unless you leave fucking $2,000 in there. You know, when I was a kid, I left fucking a bag of Thai weed in a suit when I left the Bender's house. Years later, he was like, you left a bag of weed in there that stunk so far. Can you imagine? You're broke. You go over to the fucking whatever places. You buy a jacket. You put your hand in there. There's a fucking ounce of weed, a Coke rock, and $1,000. You're on your way.
That guy at the liquor store would have appreciated that the other day.
Which guy?
The guy that came up to us the other day after the podcast.
Oh, fuck. There's people always coming up to you. But it's so crazy how you you go to fucking, you know, I'm trying to send this shit to fucking Jersey. I shoot over to the weed store, and from 4 to 7 at Divine Wellness yesterday, they had Auntie Dolores. Auntie Dolores is a brand. Like Bang Chocolate's a brand for reefer, for the hash. Auntie Dolores is another brand. And they're not bad. As a matter of fact, Ari eats a lot of Auntie Dolores stuff in Hollywood. They have regular little brownies, and then they have a brownie that's, I think, 112 milligrams, a brownie bite, and it fucks you up. And then they have a cookie that tastes like, it tastes the worst edible I've ever eaten, but it's like, it was rated the highest edible last year by one of the magazines, and it's 300, I don't even fucking know. I bought it for $20 and tried to eat it on a plane, and it tasted so fucking bad. I kept pressing that button, bam, bam, to get the stewardess to come over and give me like 19 fucking cans of soda and water.
I do the edibles with you sometimes, but
I'm shoving a fucking lollipop.
Let's do it tomorrow,
comes, cocksucker.
But I can't do the taste yet. I always have to have a drink with it. I can't. That's why I want to try like the pills or something, because I don't know what it is, but the weed.
They got
tastes.
The pills. They got the little.
Do you like them?
They're strong. They're little capsules. They look like a vitamin E pill, guys, like the ones you put a needle in and rub on your face, like that. So they have those. But I went over there. Auntie Dolores was there. She was giving away free samples, dog. She gave me some fucking caramel corn popcorn. She gave me a mint chocolate chip brownie. You know, Weight Watchers, when I go to the Weight Watchers meetings, the best thing about Weight Watchers meetings, they have those low point chocolates, which are delicious. They're stuffed with that cancer sugar. What the fuck was I saying? I got high today.
They gave you free samples.
They gave me. I'm still recovering
Weight Watchers. Sorry.
Weight Watchers, right. They give you these mint chocolate chips. You buy the whole box, like 2 points a piece. I could eat the whole box when I'm at Weight Watchers.
Of course.
You eat the whole fucking box. They're delicious. But that tasted like that. They had this popcorn Lee that was off the chain. So I called Ari, and I go, Ari, go to Divine Wellness, because from 4 to 7, you could talk to the Auntie Dolores girl, and she's giving away free samples, and they're giving you this and that. They gave me a bag of free fucking samples. Like, you know when you go to Costco and they give you the cups and shit?
Yeah.
So she gave me 2 cups of popcorn, 2 little mint things, plus I bought a 160 lollipop and a 200 milligram thing. So I inhaled the 200 milligram thing, I inhaled the lollipop, and I ate all the fucking free samples. I love to spoil fucking Sons of Anarchy. The problem is, I don't remember it. You know what I'm saying?
I'm surprised you're awake.
Oh, no, I went to bed. I went out. You know me. I wrote a few jokes. I went over to the ha-ha. I worked out a little bit. I walked in at 11:45. I came home. I had a fucking glass of juice.
After eating all that, you still did everything for your
night. Who the fuck do you think you're dealing with? Some novice? What the fuck do you think you're dealing with, bro? 300 milligrams of THC, dick.
I'm not. Are you sure you did that? I think you just sat on your couch and you dropped it.
I swear to God, though, you know me better than that. You don't know, fucker. This is all at 4:15, 4:20, 4:30. This all went down. I was eating the popcorn.
You ate it all at once?
Bro, you know me. I ain't got time. What am I, a fucking hermit? I'm going to save a fucking little cookie for later. You know those people, they save a thing. They're all creepy and shit. Well, I got a cookie for later. I don't give a fuck. What do you got for later? I'm Matt Flavor. Sons of Anarchy's coming out at 7 o'clock. I am a fucking soldier. I got to, you know what I'm saying? I gotta do this shit, Lee. I ain't got no time to fuck around. I want to write some comedy. I want to go out. I want to get loose. Sometimes you get too high. You can't get loose like the day at the YMCA. That happens. I ain't going to sit here and tell you that shit don't happen. It happens. We all have fucking accidents. You know, how many times do you go, you're going to go to church or something, and there's a fucking bong, you want to do a bong hit just to loosen up before church, you do that fucking bong hit, and you don't finish it, and you're sitting around the room, and you're like, what am I, a fucking half a fag? I got to finish that bong hit. You hit that fucking bong hit again, then you go to church. By the time you get to church, you're like, I'm pretty fucked up here. I can't even go in. You got to walk after everybody else goes in. You're trying to hide from the fucking kids. Sometimes you get too high by mistake. Last night I got a little fucking high by mistake. I don't even remember Sons of Anarchy. I remember they cornered whatever. They beat up Juicy. That's it. I don't remember. I blacked out. I hung out with my wife. I don't know what the fuck we talked about. She fell asleep about 9. I was trying to write some jokes. That's when I called you, and we were talking about the board here on the wall, and we'll get to that. And I called you. When I called you, I was out. I called you at 10:05.
Yeah, you sounded fine.
Yeah, I'm a professional. Lee, who the fuck do you think you're dealing with? Some fucking novice, one of these kids with sandals on and a backpack with a High Times tattoo on my chest, trying to fucking impress these other momos. Well, look at me. I never bought High Times in my life. I'm the real fucking deal. And you people too. Get it together. You don't have to show people that you get high. You just be in your fucking zone. Nobody needs to know you got a beard and your little THC shirt. Look at me, you fucking momo. You know, you don't have to show. I tell you, I got pulled over by a cop yesterday.
No, you didn't.
Fuck yeah.
For what?
Doing 90 on Burbank Boulevard. I went around the fucking cop, dog, on the right-hand lane. Edgar Gonzalez, one of my good buddies. It was his birthday yesterday out of here at Burbank. I was talking to one of Eddie's students on the phone. And there's a line from here to Chicago. You want me to sit there and just take it? I popped into that right lane. I went around, and as I'm going, I'm like, oh, fuck, there's the cop. He didn't see me. Sure enough, he's on my tail. Sure enough, he's on my fucking tail. I pull over. He pulls me over. I put my hands out to let him know I don't have a weapon. I don't want to get shot by one of these fucking yahoos.
You put your hands out?
Sure, I always do, so there's no misunderstanding. Holy I ain't got no shit. Weapon on me. He came over. He goes, what's the rush? I go, dog, I got to go to fucking acupuncture. You sit me, you know. You got me down to pay no mind list on this fucking line. And he goes, give me your license. He looked at the license. He looked at the back of the car. He looked at my face. He looked at my eyes. I go, I got a doctor guy. And he goes, here, you got insurance? I go, yeah. I was went for reach for it. He goes, don't worry about it. He goes, I'm going to give you a warning this time. If he would have pulled me over and I would have had a SWAT sticker on my forehead and the car would have smelled like reef and my eyes would have been red, we would have had a fucking problem. But because, you know what I'm saying? No, you gotta look half presentable. That's what I'm just trying to help you motherfuckers out. When you leave your house, you put Visine in your fucking eyes. You wash your hands, you wash your face. You don't wanna smell like fucking reefer. You don't even wanna get them the illusion. You know, I don't have reefer in my car. When I leave the house, I don't bring reefer with me. What the fuck am I going? I need reefer. What am I fucking going on a mission from Satan? I'm going on a mission like, what's the chick yesterday? Ladies and gentlemen, I gotta tell you something. The church, we're going to stop watching fucking the news pretty soon. I mean, we're going to have to stop watching the news.
What happened?
It is becoming like TMZ. That's all. You know, Hillary Clinton went to Israel yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. She went to Israel to talk to somebody. Oh, no, 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 no. She's on a mission to Israel to put peace among... There's a two male dominant. They don't give a fuck. They'll pick up Hillary Clinton and shoot a skyrocket up a fucking asshole and launch her right back to wherever the fuck she lives, to fucking Mississippi with her husband, whatever the fuck. Are you fucking kidding me? They put her on a mission. Listen, she ain't no fucking James Bond. She's gonna go over there with that ugly fucking horse face. Did you see her? That's why they got her in the back. She had the ponytail with the head coming out of it. What the fuck? She's not on no mission to Israel to talk them into peace. Are you fucking kidding me? Those fucking Jews and those desert people, they've been going at it for 2,000 fucking years, 3,000 years. Am I lying to you, Lee?
No.
And this broad is going to go over there. Let me tell you something. You could send over fucking Jenny McCartney with an asshole stretched out, ready to suck dick for fucking 20 years. She can't stop the war over there in Gaza, wherever the fuck they are. You understand me? You're going to send that Halloween fucking project Clinton's wife to fucking over there to do what? Scare them? They start throwing rocks at that fucking bitch. You ain't stopping those motherfuckers for days. You understand me? But they sent her on a mission. James Bond goes on mission. Mexicans, when they go down to Mexico to get 50 pounds of cocaine, that's a fucking mission. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, shit.
I'm feeling it today. I'm on fire like Madonna's asshole. It's Thanksgiving tomorrow, people. I'm fucking happy you guys are all getting together. What are you laughing about, you fuck?
I've never seen you get so worked up over a mission.
Oh, my God, because it's not a mission. They just sent her over there to talk to two people to make it look like the Obama administration's doing something.
Mm-hmm.
We all know a woman's not going to fucking stop the war. I got nothing against women. I got nothing. I don't want to get letters next week, breast cancer. They're going to throw rocks at me and shit. I don't need that shit. What I'm trying to say is Hillary Clinton is not going over there to stop a fucking, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You got to go over there with an envelope. You want to stop that war, you got to give those Sam people a couple envelopes. You got to take those Jews and sit them down, give them some properties in fucking Long Island. You know, give them a yarmulke. Something. You got to give these people something, but you're not going to just stop them. You want to stop war, you got to give them a little heroin looker. From now on, we're not going to have this problem no more, all right? You fucking desert people, get your shit together. You got to bring Hillary Clinton over here to do what with that rotten fucking pussy. Anyway, I'm sorry about that today, people. My little political thing, I'm getting fired up. I'm still getting flashbacks from that anti-fucking-whatever last night. I got high last night, dog.
I guess so, Jesus.
And you know what? I'm going to get fucked up today, too. Because I got nothing. I'm going to go to the Y. I got to go get a haircut. And I got to go to with my wife to the doctor. That's it. That's my fucking day. But I will do one thing with you guys, and this is on the truth. You know, Mike Doce called the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I talk to Mike Doce, I get more and more, you know, like, into this, because I don't want to let him down. So we're all going to fucking get on the health and fitness wagon. We're all going to send each other fucking tweets and talk about what's going on in our lives. You know, we all need some fucking improvement. So do I. I'm a fat fuck. I'm going to walk everywhere from now on. You know, when I moved up here, I used to walk everywhere. And that little walking was keeping me alive. It really was. I believe it. They say 10 minute walk 3 times a day, it changes your life. That's what fucking Harvard said.
That's the best part about living in a big city, like Boston or New York or a place like that.
What, that you can walk and get mugged?
No, not that you can get mugged, but I've noticed a difference out here that even when I've been big my entire life, but when I was there, it was kind of kept at a minimum because I was walking 10, 15, 20 minutes every day, twice, 3 times a day to the train, or just, it's only a mile away, I'm not going to wait for a train, I'll just walk there.
Get the fuck out of here, it's a mile I'm going to walk. Last time you walked a mile, you were a Boy Scout.
No, fucking Boston.
Walked up the hill and made the fucking tent cocksucker.
Stab you in the neck.
Stab you in the neck, you little cocksucker. I'm going to give a shout out today to my special fucking Thanksgiving people, my main man Buffalo Frank, Anthony Porrio, Jeffrey Jamizi, David McPherson, Justin Claude Hill. I love you, cocksucker. You and Justin's a cool guy. Slay Broth, you're okay, cocksucker, but I'm not putting on that album you wanted me to put on. Dan Barrow, the author, Trevor Burrows, my man, my favorite black dude since, you know, Leroy Neckbone. Happy Thanksgiving to you, sexy black motherfucker. And Forrest Hills, another sexy fucking white dude. And don't forget, Onnit is fucking hooking us up now. Again, you want to get healthy, you want to lose a little fucking weight, get the protein. Hemp Force Protein. You got like 92 grams of fiber in there, so as soon as you drink it, you start shitting blood. You also got the protein in there, 16 grams. If you're fucking depressed, you're not in a good mood, a little Shroom Tech. And I got the new mood, which I gave Lee. You've been taking it for 3 days. How you feeling, Lee, so far? It takes a couple of days to get
No, I'm feeling great.
Really? You've been doing jumping jacks?
And no, then I don't feel that great.
What I put you on for sure is this.
Okay.
Because this thing, it's been helping the shit out of me. Like I said, I've been walking more. When you're heavy, they tell you you got to walk. You got to move around. But for 2 days, you're sore. Your joints are hurting. Your fucking asshole hurts. Your legs hurt. That's why. Because this has the whole glycosamine, tryptophan, the whole fucking deal. I got all the chemicals in my head. I can't remember them right now. I ate a lollipop and many other things. What you do is go to Onnit when you order this stuff, and they have like mix and match packages. Did you know that?
No,
so
I didn't.
You get
see
the
that.
Protein, you get that. They have a bunch of different packages. Just go. Look, you're going to make a fucking, you're going to start getting your notebook, you're going to write your goals, you're going to each lose 20, 30 pounds. We'll do this shit together. Me and Lee are going to start taking pictures. I'm going to put pictures up of me whacking off with a fucking, with a bandana on, the whole fucking thing. And then like that, you can see the weight development. You know what? I put on some weight, but I've lost some weight. I got on the scale yesterday, acupuncture, and I actually lost 2 pounds. I'm lifting some fucking weights. I'm trying to get strong. You know, I want to live for my baby girl. That's the last thing I want to do. You know, the other day I was petting my cats.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what would I fucking do without these animals? You know, but I did get, what time you got, Lee?
6:25.
Oh, shit, we got a good guest today. This guy contacted me after 26 years to say hello. He was my roommate at the halfway house. His name is Alex.
Holy shit.
And we had this roommate that looked just like Ed Norton from The Honeymooners. He was a little older than us at the time. We were 20-something. This guy was 40. And one night we wanted him to leave. He had the bottom bunk.
Okay.
He had a single room or a bottom bunk, so we were trying to get him to leave so our beds would go down. So I loosened my mattress, and I jumped on the bed, and we fell on top of him. And then I took the pack of cigarettes that he had, and I put those things in that make him explode.
So, no, you didn't.
Yes, I did. Me and Alex packed them in there, three in each cigarette. So when the bed landed on him, he gets up all upset and he goes into the living room to light the cigarette. It's darker than shit. He lights the cigarette and you actually see the light against the wall. And he just sat there with the cigarette in his mouth. And the next day we got in and, Jesus, Lee, you got to stop eating that pussy. You got those pubic hairs in your throat.
You know
what it is. But last night, this is what did. I was in here writing and I was trying to put together a testicle test. And we're not doing it in November. and they offered it December 19th, and I was trying to put a testicle test more. I'm trying to do is put them all five of them together. And I was sitting about, I was thinking about all this shit in my life, that going to prison, all the criminal shit I did. And I'm looking at this thing, I forget what her name is. I gave her some pictures last year. I don't have a lot of pictures. I don't have any pictures of my mother and father or anything like that. But I got pictures over the years from my friends, like from Carmine Balzano. And there's a picture of me as a kid dancing that everybody's seen. There's a picture of me when I'm with a hat on and I'm on Montauk at the time. Carmine Balzano had a house in Montauk, Long Island, and I slept over there one night. And there's just a picture of me, and I could... And I was pretty stoned last night, and I got up, and I was looking at the face. You know, I was looking at my face, and I was like, boy, I've been an ugly kid all my fucking life, right? I was looking at the face, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, I was 13, that picture. That was before, you know, anything bad happened in my life. But at that time, I had lost Anthony Balzano, but I'm talking about I hadn't lost my mother or any of my friends, Dominic Special, or anything like that. And I'm looking at that, and I'm like, what if I just woke up tomorrow, man, and this never really happened? What if I woke up tomorrow and I was still 13 and it was just a long dream? Like, I forgot to put the air conditioner on that night and slept long. You know how sometimes you fall asleep under the blanket and you wake up and you're sweaty? Like, what if I woke up because I was sweaty and the last 35 years have just been a fucking dream? And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking about my wife. I'm thinking about Lily Leland. I go to get my cell phone. There's no cell phone. You know, there's no computer. There's no Twitter. There's no Facebook. What if?
Have you thought about this before, or you just looked up?
Life. Okay. Never in my life have I thought about this. And it was like, and you wake up, and I think about my wife, and I think about my cats, and I think about Joe Rogan, and I think about Duncan, and they were just a figment of my fucking imagination, you know? But I got to make a call now. But I also, on the other hand, I wake up and my mother's cooking breakfast. So I don't lose my mother. You know, I have my mother. I was thinking about this last night. What would I have chosen? What would I do? You know, if I woke up, would I run downstairs and kiss her and tell her about the terrible dream I had? Or tell her about the fucking dream I had? That there, I had a dream I was a stand-up comedian. And I had a Jew friend that fucking flew through the air, and I had a wife and a cat. You know, it's just been an amazing thing. And it just blew my fucking mind last night, Lee. It really blew my fucking mind. Like, would I choose to go back to sleep, back to the dream? Or would I choose to stay at my mother after all these years? And I've always said that when you lose somebody that close in your life, you move on. But it's like everything you eat, it's like eating food with no salt on it. When we made the documentary, yeah. I talked about that, you know, and I still feel like that today. I've had great times. If you get married and you don't have a mother, you go to the wedding, it's a great wedding. But my mom is missing. I wanted her to meet my wife, you know, so it's been like that. That's what I was just thinking about. That's what I was freaking out about last night.
Yeah.
If I got anything from that fucking, that popcorn and Auntie Dolores, was I was writing and I went into that place. And it really made me think about if this was all a fucking dream, you know, if this all our lives are a fucking dream, man.
I've thought about that before. My life has been like 1 billionth times easier than yours. But I've thought about that, and I wouldn't go through school again. Like, that's, I've thought about that a lot. Would I go through school again and do it any differently? And I would never go back and do that.
But you don't want to go back to college?
I mean, even earlier, like high school or middle school, fucking. I've thought about that a lot. So when you called and talked to me about that, I started thinking about it. And like for me, if I lost my mom, I would think, oh, I would want to go back. But then you've also had fucking really hard times too. So you get to see your mom, but in all likelihood, you wouldn't be able to save her. Right? Probably.
No, I would. She's alive. She's fucking alive.
So you don't even think. You're just thinking, oh, she's
waking
alive.
Up. Yeah, I wake up from my fucking dream, but I don't have Terry. I don't have my cats. I never met Joe Rogan. I never did The Longest Yard. I never did nothing. I never went to prison. I never knew the Benders. This was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Throw some fucking Ten Crack Commandments on these motherfuckers, Lee. Something. Throw some music on them. You're killing me, Lee. All right. Spin this shit. You know what I'm saying? This is how... You should have had this prepared. Here we go. Oh shit. A little biggie from. It's the Ten Crack Commandments. What?
I had it prepared.
Oh shit, it's time for a lollipop. I got a butterscotch.
This crack, this weed, and my hustling niggas.
This is his last album. He was what, 25 years old, 23 years old. How the fuck will he make it? Next time you got nothing to do, listen to this album. Two sides. Oh shit.
Like a big motherfucking lollipop.
120 milligrams of pure fucking mind-bending THC. What?
For you to get your game on track. Not your wig pushed back. Rule number uno. Never let no one know how much dough you hold. Cause you know.
For the audio listeners, he just took the entire thing and bit half of it off.
It's butterscotch, but it's really green. You know you're gonna have a bad day when you eat a fucking green lollipop, huh?
Holy shit.
Fuck it. Hemp fork, go like that omelet right now. As you check out Press Fucking Church in the box and get a little discount for yourself, a little email from Uncle Joey or something, alright? Let me see you dance, dude. Let me see you do a wiggle for Uncle Joey. What? It's Wednesday, motherfucker. Take the stick out of your ass. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving, baby. Get to see our family, hang out, smoke dope with Grandpa. What? What else, Lee? Talk to me. Tell me something good today, cocksucker. You're sitting there like a Momo in heat. Talk to me.
Like a Momo in heat? No, I just feel fucking... I feel great. It's important. The whole family thing's important. I've been talking and... I'm going home in December, and my mom's really excited. I'm going home for a week, and it's... here, like, when you say you wish you could... You were thinking about the dream, and if you could talk to your mom again... Just the holidays make me think about family, and especially being so far away. I'm excited to go back.
What about your dad? You're gonna see that fucking little cocksucker?
Yeah, he's
Dick Syatt, who loves you.
He's coming out for his 60th birthday in February.
When is his birthday?
February 18th.
And mine's the 19th.
Or maybe he's. I think it's no. It is the 18th. 18th or 19th. I'm almost positive. No, it's 18th.
Get it together, Lee. He's your father. This ain't some chick you met on fucking the bingo room. You know what I mean?
I knew the fucking date, asshole. It's 18th.
What do you like tomorrow, Lee? There's three fucking games I want you to think about. That's what you should be thinking about.
Patriots. I have to pick
them. Who are they playing? The Jets? Who else? Dallas? Who else?
Dallas and... someone tweeted at us. I think it's Dallas and Washington. So
all right. And there's another game, too. Detroit and who else?
Let me look.
The Texans, I think, right? Somebody
no,
fucking crazy.
I don't think so.
Somebody crazy. We're going to have one lock for you tomorrow to make fucking Thanksgiving money. And now, guess what? I'm going to eat the other half. Who the fuck eats a THC 120 milligram butterscotch lollipop for breakfast?
Someone who's crazy.
Not even Mike Dolce eats one of these fucking things. He must be jumping up and down, pulling his hairs out of his head.
All right. Let's see who is fucking playing. Houston and Detroit. So you were right.
That's my phone. We were on the phone the other day, and we're going over the picks from Sunday.
Okay.
Tell these people the truth. We're going over the picks from Sunday. We're giggling about New England like we usually do and whatever. And I say to you, isn't this a bitch that they're already raping motherfuckers this weekend?
Yeah, people are about a bunch of upsets.
And I say to you, they're not even waiting. And I go on Thursday, in the back of my mind, I just took a lucky guess. I know there's two games on a Wednesday, on a Thursday for Thanksgiving, but I said these cocksuckers are going to add an extra college game.
Mm-hmm.
Sure enough, I look in the thing without even knowing, and there is three pro games. And I said they're going to be greedy and suck the life out of you people, so you poor motherfuckers, they're going to rape you people on Thursday.
And it's funny because you would think that Houston's going to beat Detroit. You would think that Dallas is going to beat Washington, and you would think New England's going to beat the Jets. Probably two of them are going to be upsets.
But they always say Dallas on Thanksgiving.
Dallas and Detroit are usually the two.
Dallas always covers on Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay.
That's the word on the street. That's what. You know, it's like home team underdog on a Monday night.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Get it together, Lee, cocksucker. You're supposed to know this shit. You're supposed to be the flying Jew.
I'm learning from you. I'm part of the church, too.
I shouldn't be eating on camera and stuff, but the lollipop's been sitting there. You know what I'm saying? It's been sitting there staring me down, calling me out. You ever been called out by a fucking lollipop?
We're lucky you made it through 35 minutes before you had it.
I'm high as fuck already. No, I was smoking a vapor pen. You know, I don't care. I only got a couple hours of sleep last night. Just
Yeah, if you got home at midnight or something, or you went to the HaHa at midnight, something like that.
No, I went to the HaHa at 10. I hung out. I went up at 11. I got home like 11:45. I came home. I talked to my wife for a couple minutes. I fucking, I didn't smoke a dope or nothing. I just wrote. I wanted to cover the jokes. You know, it's really hard. I mean, Joe Rogan always talks about the writing process.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't focus on it. Like, sometimes I just don't focus on it. I've been doing it for so long. I go out, write something, try it, get a thought, throw it away, not try it. Lately, because of the December 21st show and the fucking, I want to tape a special with my man Lee Syatt, is one of the producers. Look at him all happy. I've been paying attention to it. It's just a really weird, sometimes you write something, you're high, and you get excited about it, and you go out and you say it, and then you bomb. And it's like somebody took your lunchbox. You know? It's like I've bombed 1,000 times. When you work on a joke and it bombs, and you go out and try it, and it don't work, your fucking little fat heart breaks. You know what I'm saying? So
that must be a weird. It always blows my mind, because I'd be scared, first of all, just to be on stage. But to write a joke for a crowd when you're sitting by yourself with headphones on doesn't really make sense. Like, I don't know. Like, I've always heard the term writing on stage. I don't know really what it means.
Yeah,
I know technically what it means, but I can't imagine. Like, it doesn't seem like it would work. Like, sitting, like, writing home, doing homework, and then going to stage. Like, it doesn't seem like it would mix. But people do it, so it obviously works. But
There's a good combination then, because you're sitting by yourself, you're thinking about something.
Mm-hmm.
But now when you're in front of the stage, it's like putting a gun to your fucking head. Now you got to think of something. So it's really weird how differently you work with a gun to your fucking head. That's all it is. When you work, if you have a concept and you take it up there and you go on stage and you have 200 people in the audience, that's 400 eyeballs you're in front of. I mean, basically, you'll come up with something, motherfucker.
Now, is that what you think the difference is between a regular person, but a person who doesn't do stand-up and a stand-up? Because everyone, I mean, For me, I've been in my car, like, driving, I think this would be funny on stand-up, but I'm not a stand-up. Do you think, like, the only difference is, like, you...
Well, there's more than a funny joke. Once you... It's like when people come up to you and go, hey, I'm going to try this joke on you. I always say no, because I want you to try it in front of me when you got a gun to your head. On stage, it's a lot different than when you say a joke. When you read a joke on Twitter, and when you say a joke on stage, it's two different things. The reason why it works for me sometimes, I say disgusting jokes, and people say the joke's in my voice. So it makes it, you follow what I'm saying to you?
Yeah.
You ever read something, and very seldom do you read something that's that brilliant that it fucking cracks you up. But I do, I read a ton of shit that makes me laugh. But sometimes you read a joke that's very funny, and it's funnier on stage. You see he puts a fucking thing to it, he blinks his eye. You know, he's letting the audience know he's telling the joke. It's like when you see Rodney in the old days. Whenever he touched his tie, mm-hmm. that means he was saying a joke.
Really?
Yeah. Watch his fucking joke. You know, it's so weird that, listen, man, I heard Pryor first.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got into George Carlin for a while. And then I saw Caddyshack. And my fucking head almost exploded. Okay? When the first time you saw Caddyshack, you didn't know what the fuck happened. That is one of my all-time favorite movies, and it's great because of Bill Murray, and now they always have you ever seen the making of Caddyshack on AMC?
No.
They have all, when the fucking studios had to send people down there to tell them to stop doing blow. You know, I mean, these stories are just, you know, this is Harold Ramis. This is Harold Ramis. This is what I tell you, dog. One of the best days of my life was when I did Analyze That, even if the movie sucked. I wasn't in the movie because I knew it was going to be Academy Award. I just wanted to be around Harold Ramis. I just wanted to touch him, dog. Because what he did to me, for me as a kid, he gave me fucking hope. You know, when I saw Caddyshack, I nearly fucking died, guy. And when I saw Rodney Dangerfield, I nearly fucking died the first time. My head almost exploded. I still remember, you know, counting down the days. I've only counted down the days to a few movies. What's the one with Jodie Foster and Hannibal Lecter? Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
I went to that movie at 5:00. That movie, the first, there was no midnight movies in those days.
Had you read the book or what?
Yeah.
Okay.
There was no standing online with a fucking wheelchair and, you know, dreaming about X-Men or something. This was, you know, I was waiting for this shit. I had seen Manhunter which is a Michael Mann movie.
That I haven't even heard of that.
Manhunter is a movie that he made with, if you like The Thief, remember we had The Thief?
Yeah.
Same company, same director. Manhunter, even kind of the same people. It was the same casting. It was the guy from CSI.
Okay.
My CSI Las Vegas, William Peterson. And now he's the cop. And the guy that played Hannibal Lecter was different. He had greasy hair on the way back. Great movie. I got nothing against. Then they remade the movie. I forget what it's called. But the first Manhunter was the first thing the Hannibal Lecter. And then he came back with, you know, they got Jodie Foster. I was fucking ready. I mean, I woke up at 8 in the morning that morning. I knew I was going to see Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, when I went to see Scarface, I didn't know about Scarface. I got off a plane. I was never prepped. But one movie I was prepped for was a movie called Easy Money that came out in the summer of 83 or 84 or whatever the fuck it came out in. And I can't, I never believed, like, we took beers in there. We took a bunch of fucking beers in there, bro. And I remember, like, the first line of the movie and beers cracking, like, you could hear the fucking beers cracking. Everybody was drinking beers. And Rodney came on. It was, you never seen Easy Money?
Oh, yeah, we watched it.
Rodney, Joe Pesci. And I watched that. My fucking head exploded.
Now, where in that, where, how has Rodney been out for a while when that came out?
No.
Okay.
No. Rodney hadn't been out. This was all, people were waiting. People were waiting for Easy Money. And also he pops up with this Joe Pesci and the girl that played in the other movie I like. She plays the daughter and the Mexican kid. Not them. He's not Mexican. I said the Spanish kid I see at the Comedy Store. He was also in the movie with Bruce Willis about the football and all that shit. When I saw that Easy Money the first time, Julio, when I saw that movie, I nearly fucking died. And I remember being in the movie theater with 1,000 other kids that were 22. And we're watching this old man, because at that time he was 50. He just goes off on Easy Money. And, you know, I became a fan of his. And then when I wanted to get into stand-up comedy, you know, I watched some of his tapes. But the tape that really sent me over the top was the Rodney Dangerfield Young Comedian Specials that I've always spoken about. You've got Bill Hicks on there, and you've got Andrew Dice Clay on there, you've got Roseanne on there. You know, he was just such a good guy. And then one day, you know, I was on Sunset Boulevard, and I'm waiting by the Laugh Factory, and I'm looking around like a fucking Momo, and I'm thinking about how I need something to change in my life, for me to get ahead in my life, that I was booking little movies and shit, mm-hmm. but I really wasn't getting a bite on it. And the next thing you know, I fucking call up, I'm sitting there, and I look up, and the phone rings, or my pager goes off, and I pull over. And it's this casting director. It's my agent. He goes, listen, they want to see you for this Rodney Dangerfield movie. It was just amazing. I couldn't believe it. I was just sitting there going, at this light, going, wow. That would be amazing if I needed somebody to help me. And it would be nice if Rodney helped me. And here I'm going in for his fucking movie. And I go to the audition, and he's right fucking there.
What movie is this?
This is called Back by Midnight.
Okay.
It was one of the, almost like the two, three last movies he was going to make. So the next thing you know, no, I read, and the next thing they tell me is that the part is given away. The role was given away. But they call back and they go, no, he doesn't care. He's going to write a role for you. Come on down there and just do it.
That's amazing.
You going to call me, brother? Yeah, it's 9:40. It's 8:45 now. It's 6:45, my time. So just give me a call, brother. All right, bro, I'll be here waiting. Bye. So,
and it's funny because we had, for people who don't know, we had kind of like pilot sessions of the podcast like months ago. Like when you would show me like the Aerosmith albums, and then the other thing you showed me was that Rodney special. And we were just sitting, we watched like the whole thing, and I was like standing behind you, and you had like tears in your eyes, and it was just that was a great special.
It fucking changed me. I mean, it just, you know, here he had you know, Bill Hicks, he had Rodney Day, he had Don Marrera, he had Jerry Seinfeld, he had Roseanne, he had all these people. I mean, the reason why I do comedy today is because watching Lenny Clark on those tapes, and then again watching fucking Andrew Dice Clay follows Bill Hicks, which is fucking amazing. You just sit there and you're blown the fuck away on how. So that's how I learned to do comedy. So for me to be driving on Sunset one day and going, wow, I need somebody to touch my touch me. And all of a sudden, I'm going in on a Rodney movie. And I go into this fucking audition, and there he is in the room. I'm shitting my fucking pants. All these comics I'd always seen, and I'd never seen Rodney Dangerfield in person. And I'm fucking sitting there, and it's Rodney. And all of a sudden, I go in the room, and I shake his hand. I'm not trying to be cute. I'm not trying to do nothing. I'm just trying to be funny, but in a contained way. And I read, and he laughs, and everybody in the room laughs, and I leave, and they're like, no, you didn't get the movie, but he put you into this movie. He wants you to show up. You didn't know about this
movie? No, I never heard
of it. So every day, the trailer's on YouTube. It's called Back by Midnight.
Okay.
So I would go in there every day, and he would fucking, they'd say, go knock on Rodney's door. And I would walk over and knock on his door, and he would open up the door with a robe on, with his balls hanging out and shit, smoking a joint. He was old and shit. He would open up the door and go, what, you know, what? And he go, oh, it's you, Joey. Come on in. Or,
here you go.
Mi socio, ¿cómo está?
¿Cómo está, Joey?
You know me, brother. This is my old, old, good friend, Alex, who, Alex, how long I know you, Papa?
What, about 20 years?
Yeah, since BCTC and shit. For you people who don't know, yeah. BCTC is the halfway house I ended up in after my little stint in Canyon City. And when you go in there, they have 7-man rooms. And then after a while, you graduate to 3-man rooms. And Alex was one of my roommates with a guy that looked like Ed Norton, right?
Yep.
And we used to fucking torture him. It was funny that, you know, it was a halfway house, Alex, but it was like we were running it at the time. Remember, there were, we had an air conditioner in our room, and it didn't work. So one night I had Alex look out, and I went downstairs and stole the air conditioner out of the conference room and put it in our room and put our shitty air conditioner into their thing, and they never even knew. We used to order Chinese food in there. We used to have a good time. Well, Alex, what did you do for work when you were in there?
I was working at that freaking mail place, man. Neo Data.
That's right. Neodata. Yeah. And everybody used to work there from BCTC, right?
Everybody. That was like a freaking, that's where they hired all the talent, man.
That was fucking crazy. What do you remember the most of that place, man?
Shit. Well, it was supposed to be a rehabilitation center, but we were doing the whole opposite. And but no, man, I guess I think the first time I saw you, Joey, was at Camp George West.
Were we together at Camp George West?
Yeah, at Camp George West. I was there on a layover. I came back from Beauty.
Oh, that's right.
And you were at a visit, and I saw you there with your, I think, your wife. You were having a visit, and then you wound up there at BCTC. That's where I was going. And that's where we kind of hooked up. You know,
it was crazy, man. I had Alex. I was going crazy when I was there. You know, when you get out of prison or whatever the fuck you call it, you know, you tell yourself, "Oh, you're not going to do this and you're not going to do that." But you and I both know the minute you hit that concrete, bro, that shit starts fucking haunting you. I mean, I think I got out on a Tuesday, and by Thursday I was doing coke. You know, I couldn't take it no more. And I remember that. I got my girlfriend pregnant at the time, and I had to, you know, make money, you know, and I was selling cars. And I don't know, remember we had different levels? You had to be like level 3, and you could stay out till midnight, and they wouldn't P-test you and all that shit. You know, I've told these guys the stories, Alex, about how I would do blow, and I would know that they were going to pee me, and I would take pool cleaner and put it on my dick. So when I'd piss in the fucking office, I would pull the skin back. Were there any tricks that you tried to do, Alex, when you were fucking in there with me?
No.
You never.
You know what? I got lucky one time because they. What I would do is that because I used to smoke weed, and I remember I used to run the hot water in the bathroom and start shadow boxing and just get my sweat on, you know, and I just stay in there for a long time just shadow boxing, man, just sweating, and you know what? I got come out clean. You know what I mean? And do you remember that drummer guy, dude?
Which one?
That tall, skinny blonde guy. Oh man, what was it? Hardman was his last name.
No, I don't remember him.
And I was always scratching his ass.
I remember, bro, my thoughts of that fucking halfway house. I feel bad, Alex, because we were supposed to be rehabbing and we weren't even thinking of rehabbing. Like, they always give you the shit on TV. They always tell you how you go to a halfway house so you could, they could, it's your gateway into civilization. There was no fucking gateway. I mean, I got there, and the first thing I did was start getting my dick sucked by Patrice Twining. Do you remember that filthy freak?
Oh, yeah.
She was a nasty, cute little girl. I remember fucking her right at rehab. Like, they used to, we used to have to go to rehab on the corner there, and we'd be in the meetings. And I look at her, like, wink at her. Next thing you know, we're out in the fucking parking lot, and I'm fucking her under a tree next to a squirrel. I didn't give a fuck about condoms. I didn't give a fuck. I was out there eating ass like a soldier. Alex, bro, man. I remember being in there and being, I remember being in a seven-man room and weighing blow. Weighing cocaine in my halfway house room. And I remember that the girl, what was the skinny blonde that I caught fucking Adam, and then she never messed with me again? Judy or something. Judy was the black lady. Remember, Judy was the big, thick black lady. She was a counselor. And then me and you both had Adam, the Jewish kid.
Yeah. Oh, Adam Berker. Yeah.
Yeah, Adam Berker. And then there was a caseworker. Yeah. And then we also had the chick. What was the blonde chick that was a hot little freak? And I caught her fucking Adam. What was her name?
Tracy,
that's right. And how I got away with the little white chick. I seen her coming out of Adam's apartment. I live right down the block from Adam. So one morning I was walking my dog and I seen her walking out of Adam's fucking condo, dog. Do you know that I ended up buying that condo from Adam?
Who did?
I did.
Oh, yeah?
The condo I had when I got married, I bought from Adam, my fucking counselor. Nobody knew. I wasn't allowed to tell anybody. Did you know that, Alexander Ray?
Yeah, I didn't know that. Well, you know, I got caught, you know, Gary, that old man?
Yeah, Gary, yeah.
I bought a 79 Granada from him. That's $100.
You bought a what?
I got caught.
What'd you buy?
A car, a 79 Granada, yellow.
And they caught you?
And they caught me, man. You know, when he came in, he's like, "Hey, you want to buy a car?" And I'm like, "What do you got, man?" He goes, "Come on." And we walked. And he has this old beater car, man. It's old 79. And I said, "How much you want?" He goes, $100. I said, "All right." So he gave me a little bill of sale. And I put it in my wallet. Well, I came into the halfway house, and you know how they go through all your stuff, you know, empty your pockets and all this and that. And they emptied my wallet, man. And I pulled out my wallet, and they went through it, and they found that bill of sale. And I got written up. And I was like, "Shit, man!" And that's when everything started happening with Gary. Poor guy, but I mean, he hated us, dude.
Bro, me and Alex shared a room with Gary, and I called him Norton because he looked just like Art Carney. And our plan was, me and Alex used to like to party in the fucking room, but we couldn't party with Gary in the room because he didn't party. And at this time, Alex, I remember getting like a half ounce of coke, working on 104th and Thornton selling cars, and driving home at 12 o'clock and pulling up to the back with the car because I had permission to drive. And I remember looking up at the back of the building and seeing 40 fucking people jumping up and down. It was fucking, I can't even describe this. Like, I was bringing blowing on a Friday night, and these people were going crazy. Half of them weren't allowed out because they hadn't paid their rent. I mean, there was 1,000 stories. I don't even know how I'd sneak the blow into the fucking building, Alex. I have no idea. I would have a suit on. They wouldn't piss test me, but the particular night that I never forget about you was the night I left with like an ounce of coke. And on the way home from the car dealer, I went to a strip club where they didn't serve alcohol. You know what I'm talking about? They have them in Thornton and shit like that. They don't serve alcohol, so the women are completely naked.
Yeah.
Alex, I went into one of those with a half ounce of coke because I don't even know, I was bored. I had to kill time till midnight because I didn't want to come home before midnight because that was the curfew at the halfway house. So I went to this strip club, and I'm in there, and I see this Korean girl that was a fucking 12. And I was clean and sober. I was getting married. And next thing you know, Alice, I start doing coke with the girl. That's how bad to the bone the girl was. I start doing coke with her. And she asked me for a private dance, and I take her back. Then I'm giving her coke rocks. And I've got my hand in her little fucking pussy, Alex. And she's driving me crazy. And I got this girl looking at her, and I go, what can I give you to fuck you? And she said, nothing. I can't fuck you. I can't even suck your dick. Alex, I was furious. I remember doing an eight ball on the way home in the car and whacking off on the 36, almost killing myself while I'm fucking whacking off on the 36 coming home. And I remember getting home, and that's the night that, who was the kid upstairs that used to shave and make believe he was doing blow, but he was sweating. So to hide, he would put a towel around his neck and shave, and he would cut his face. There was a guy upstairs. I mean, I had the whole fucking building wired. But I remember that we stayed up. I remember we stayed up and did blow in the halfway house till like 5 in the fucking morning. Didn't we even sneak booze in there? Couldn't you?
Oh, the works, man. Acid. We used to do the screwdrivers, the alcohol.
Yeah, in the fucking halfway house, guys.
In the halfway house. Later today, they did the count, and then that's when the party started, man. This ain't a Pink Floyd, and just getting stupid, man.
Bro, I had like, I was sleeping with like 3 or 4 girls from the halfway house. I remember I used to have the gym real close to the halfway house. I rented a garage on 18th Street.
Yeah.
I paid $35 a month. I had a bag in there, a bench, a radio, and rolling papers. I used to take them over there and fuck them on the bench and then just make them walk back to the halfway house. I'd work out. Fucking crazy, these stories, Alex. I can't even tell. I'm so happy, Alex, that you got a hold of me, bro.
Yeah.
It brought a fuck. I was driving and I seen the email and I hit him right up. I just pressed the number on the fucking email. I love this kid when he called. You know, it was just great to talk to you from that time in my life. But then it was the night that we put the fucking. I used to work in Westminster, right? 104th. Is that Westminster, Alex?
Yeah.
104th and Thornton there. And I used to go to the mall. Mm-hmm. It used to be the Westminster Mall, and they had a gag shop. And one day I'm in there and I see those things that you put in people's cigarettes and you light up and the cigarette explodes. So I take it back to the halfway house and our roommate Gary was driving me crazy because we couldn't weigh the coke in the room. I had a scale up in the ceiling, didn't I? In one of the fucking units. Yeah. I had a scale in the fucking ceiling, like a triple beam scale. And here I am weighing this fucking coke and we couldn't weigh it in front of Gary. So I figured if we torment him, he'd leave the fucking room. You know, he would leave the room. He'd go downstairs and say, I don't want to be in this room no more. So one night, me and Alex got his cigarettes, and we kept putting fucking those things in his cigarettes. Now, you're supposed to put one thing in there. We were putting like 3 in each fucking cigarette. So I don't know if you remember, Alex. Now, that he had the single bed, and me and you were in the double bed, like the top bunk and the bottom bunk.
He had the single bunk.
He had the single bunk, but we did something to him. Like I farted or did something to make him leave the room. That's what I couldn't remember.
We kept talking. We kept talking and just aggravating him. And he said, you know, he went up to the living room and, you know, didn't turn on the lights or anything. He just went up to the living room. And you and I knew what was going to happen. And it looked like freaking World War III, man.
Bro, when he lit that cigarette, when he lit that cigarette, Alex is my proof. The room was dark. There was no light in. But when he lit the cigarette, you just heard boom. And you seen this. You saw
he burned his mouth. Man.
He burned his mouth. It was a fucking classic because you saw the explosion in the shadow. Like you saw the light, like something went off. And I remember going in the living room and he's sitting there with the cigarette in his mouth and the cigarette exploded all over him. He didn't even move, Alex. We fucking laughed our asses off. And the
you
next
were freaking rolling.
Bro, the next day when we got back, he went back to a 7-man room. Which has never been happened in the history of the BCTC. Like, you don't go from a 3-man room back to a 7-man room. You go for a 7-man room.
Hey, you remember, I had a roommate there too, Bob. I don't remember Bob, the biker.
Yes, I remember Bob. He used to shit in a bag and stuff.
Yeah, man. When one night, dude, I was sleeping. And then, it just freaking... That room started stinking bad, man. And I was like turning on lights. What the hell's going on, man? And then, you know, he was acting all nervous. And I'm like, damn, man, something bad in here, you know? And he goes, hey, Alex, man, I want to talk to you, man. I said, what the hell, Bob? What's going on here? And he goes, I got a colostomy bag, man. Well, what? And he showed me. He goes, you know, it fills up with air, with gas. You know, he goes, I can't fart good like a normal person. He goes, and, you know, I got to air it out. Oh, my God, dude. Freaking nasty. But just raw sewage, man. Freaking blow by, man. He said, yeah, they sewed up my asshole. He goes, I got to fart through the bag.
Bro, there was some fucking characters in that place, in that halfway house. I remember the tall dude you're saying that would always scratch his ass. There was a there was a dude. You know, I used to lend money out, Alex, there. You know that. Like, if rent was $75 a week and you had to pay the rent on Thursday, but most people didn't get paid till Friday, I would lend people $75 and they would pay me back like $85 or $89 or $102. I forget what the number was. Did you know I was loan sharking in there one time to some of those invicts?
Shark, yeah.
That, and we would pay for food. They'd give us those fucking canned foods. And
yeah, I remember they used to give that food out at that pantry, that old cowboy guy.
Yeah.
Old short guy. He used to give us that frozen crap. And what about Terry? Do you remember Terry?
Which
one? That used to be all in love with Patrice.
Which one was Terry?
Kind of a big white boy.
No.
Was Terry. He's the one that freaking his papa stuff, but and I threw his sneakers out one time from the window. We almost got into it, man. I mean, he pulled out knives and everything, but because he would come in and he would lay down and wrap his feet with a sheet, and his freaking feet stank so bad, dude. And one day I just couldn't take it. And I just freaking threw his sneakers out the window. And he's another one that left the room. Because, I mean, he was nasty, man. I mean, we got written up. That room got written up because this guy was a freaking, was a cockroach, man. And he pulled out a knife on me. I pulled out a knife on him. And it was almost on, dude. I mean, stupid, man. I mean, just the drama in that place was, can't believe it, man.
Bro, and I left.
You know, I don't even think about it. But,
go ahead. Well, I'm sorry. What were you saying?
I was just saying, you know, I mean, I've been by there a couple of times, and it's still the same. They haven't renovated that place. Nothing. It still looks the same. I mean, the thing is freaking almost falling down, dude, that building. And I just kind of, like, put it in the back of my mind, you know. Good times, bad times, you know. And I mean, that place was crooked. Everything was crooked. The caseworkers there, everybody, they were all on the pick, you know.
Oh, it was terrible. You know, it was just like a, I don't even know how to fucking describe it, but I knew I didn't want to go back there. You know, Alex, I got out of there, and then I tested positive, and they put me back in there for 3 months. And I sat in there from November till February 2nd of 1990, and the next day my daughter was born, February 3rd, 1990. So they put me back in there, bro. What happened?
You got a good memory, man.
Yeah, this is all you got.
Numbers enough?
Yeah, no, I remember the fucking dates, bro. I remember that. I was out of there, man. I was out of there. I couldn't stand being in it. You know, what was the worst thing about it for you, Alex?
I know when I first got there, dude, I had this case manager, man. Short freaking guy with a mustache, dude. And, first thing he tells me, he goes, I go in there, I say, my name's Alex, man, I'm here to meet with you, you know, I just came out of DOC, and he goes, I know you're canned, and I said, what? He goes, you come over here, try to fool people with your attitude, and you're just a convict, I mean, just, I'm like, what the hell, where is this guy, man? He goes, I'm going to be keeping an eye on you, boy, you know, and I don't know, man, I just, the simple fact that people tell me what to do all the time, man. You know, it's, you know, people micromanaging your life, you know.
You know, there's
that's
nothing.
What I hate is no dignity.
And I tell people all the time, there's nothing worse in the world than being a man and somebody telling you what the fuck to do. You know.
Another man telling you.
Yeah, and it's real how people think prison is a bad experience where you're at. I didn't even think of that. The worst thing for me was having a man come into your room and turn on your fucking lights and tell you when you have to eat. And when you have to wake up and how they kick your fucking bunk. And how when you're in prison, they try to take your manhood from you. I mean, guys like you and me, we could survive anywhere, Alex. I'll throw down to the fucking end. I don't give a fuck. We could survive anywhere. Muni. That's not the point. The point is what comes along with it. You know, how those guards act towards you, how they threaten your manhood every day. And that's something that you don't usually get threatened that much. You know, they try to break you down with that stuff. And you know what, Alex, man? When I read that email about you, I mean, last time I saw you, you were out. We were both out. Correct?
Last time
I saw you, we were both out. You were helping me see a friend of yours and stuff like that. And I mean, my life was a fuck. If these people only knew who I do the podcast for, what my life was at. That was when Oklahoma City, when they bombed Oklahoma City. That's how long I haven't seen Alex, from 94, 95. And I used to deliver Chinese food, do comedy, and sell coke while I was delivering Chinese food. So think about that, people, when you're home, thinking about how hard your life is. My dream was so in my face. I wanted to do comedy so bad, but for me to do this, I had to get a car, I had to save, I had to do all these things. I used to deliver Chinese food and sell coke while I was delivering Chinese food. And my cocaine problem was out of its fucking world. I mean, I'm not going to lie to nobody and tell you I was selling it for money. I was selling it so I could have it and shit like that. But that's the last time I saw you, Alex, was in 95.
Yeah, and 95,
And I always thought about you. You were always a solid fucking dude, man. Like, you were just solid. Like, if you had a piece of bread and I needed it, we'd split it. We'd both have a piece of bread. So I never forgot about you, Alex. I'll tell you right to your face, man. I never forgot about you, man.
Yeah, I mean, you just always. I mean, you get my wife, my kids to vouch for it, you know. I mean, because I would always talk about you. You know, I'm like, yeah, I remember Joey. You know, Joey. You know, you're probably about the best friend I've ever had, man. You know, up here. You know, you know. I mean, yeah, we had good times and stuff. You know, we also had some kind of a fucky time there too. You know, but. You know, it was an amigo que me olvidó, you know, after all these years.
No, I'm happy. I'm happy that you hit me on the email and that you're still doing your thing and that your daughter's graduating. We all turn our lives around, man. And I know a lot of people listen to this, Alex. Huh?
Totally different, bro. Totally different, Joey. Different outlook in life, man. My only goal in life is to raise my kids right. My kids go to college. Like I said, my daughter's graduating next month from CU, and then she's going to go to her PhD. And my boys, excellent kids, man. Never had any issues with my daughter as far as, you know, how they say, oh, once you have a daughter, you know, you got to watch out for the guy. Never, bro. Never. This girl's straight A's. Just good because I don't pull my punches with my kids, man. I let them know what I've been through. And, you know, I'm a living example for them, you know. What happens when you take the wrong road and make those decisions, you know, what it leads to, you know. And, you know, I've been with my wife, like I told you, 23 years, and I owe everything to her, man, because she's stuck with me through thick and thin. And I love her, and like I said, I thank God, firstly. And, you know, like I said, before I was going to train, I bought my own house, man. You know, we're real stable, got a good job. You know, just keep on going forward, man.
Well, here we are 20 years later, brother, and I'm happy that you called. You know, I love you with all my heart, and I'll keep in touch. I'll call you in a little while, and we'll talk some more.
Yeah, hey, Joey, I got a Facebook account.
You got a what?
Yeah, he's on Facebook account.
Okay, you got a Facebook account? Well, beautiful, but I'll call you, and we'll get all that. I don't want half these motherfuckers calling you on Facebook and asking you creepy questions and shit. You know what I'm saying? Te quiero, mi hermano. Sorry. I love you to all my heart. Thank you for emailing me and making my week, man. And happy Thanksgiving to you. But I'll call you in a little while, man. Thank you, Alex. I love you.
I love you, man.
Have a good day.
You too,
yeah, that was a fucked up email. I loved that kid when I was inside. You know, when you're in there, you really have nobody to watch your back. And he watched my back. And he's a thin guy. He's tatted up. He looks like one of the guys in American Me. And I always loved him. And I always wondered when somebody was going to contact me from either prison or the halfway house.
How did he say he got your information?
He said that he saw me on the Jamie Kennedy show like 10 years ago and kept watching me. And that finally he asked his daughter to go online and see if there's a way to contact me. So he contacted me 3 days ago, and I mean, I was in a weird fucking place, and I was hanging with this kid. You know, I was in a weird fucking place. I was a different animal. It's hard to believe. And that halfway house was crooked. It was a scam. It was a social scam they were doing. They were saying that they were rehabilitating us. They didn't give a fuck. They were just taking our money. They would buy an apartment building and put 7 people in a condo, a 2-bedroom condo, 1-bedroom condo.
Yeah, you said a 7-person room.
7-person room. So you would be 3 guys in one room and 4 in the fucking living room with a TV. And they would charge you $300 a month. So that's $2,100 for the apartment right there. And the apartment was really worth like $650.
Yeah.
So they had 30 or 40 units doing that shit.
And then they probably got money from the government for
doing
that.
And they got money from the government. And then to top it off, they sold us food. So they gave you 5 TV dinners. They gave you 5 orange juices, cereal, milk, artificial cold cuts, and they charge you $75 a week. And you had to pay for that. So it costs you $300 a month for rent, and then another $300 a month for groceries, which I gave mine away because I didn't eat that shit. You could only have $40 in your pocket at each time. And I mean, it was just, it was like communist. You did it, and while you're doing it, you know they're scamming you. But this is our correctional facilities.
Yeah, I was going to ask you guys. I didn't want to interrupt at the end because it wasn't really a great statement. But do you think it helped at all, like a jail or a halfway house?
The jail helped. The jail helped. You need to take a little breather and look at what you did and look at how you're going to choose and pick your rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Jail does help if you get involved in things, if you join the programs. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not like you wake up and you join the fucking army, that there's 30 million fucking programs. There's no programs. But there's AA, there's NA, there's treatment centers, there's group treatments. You know, and half of them are fucking jokes. But you're giving an effort. You're putting your head there. I did everything I could. I had nothing to lose. I'm in there. I got to kill time. If it means getting me out of a cell to go to some fucking meeting for an hour, I might as well do it.
And even though it took, I don't know, 10, 15 years or however long it took from when you left jail in the halfway house to when you're clean and now all you do is steal a lighter, that was the beginning. Listen, of you
rehabilitation
changing.
Rehabilitation is all up to you. They don't rehabilitate nothing. You're the one that decides when this part of your life ends or if it continues.
Mm-hmm.
Always remember that. They don't do nothing. Just because you do 4 years of time or 15 years of time doesn't mean all they're doing is putting you in a fucking warehouse. The rest is up to you. Your whole life, bro, you know, I did blow throughout my whole fucking 30s. There wasn't a sober time in my 30s. You know, I didn't stop doing blow till I was 44 years old.
Jesus.
You know, I wish I would have stopped at fucking 30. Some people, they see the fucking light at 20. Other people like me that was a loser, I didn't see the light till 44. That's when I decided that this had to come to an end. For Ray Charles, he didn't stop doing heroin until he was 64, so I got him beat. You know, I quit 20 years before fucking Ray Charles.
You got him beat.
You follow me? So this is how you have to look at it. Rehabilitation or any of that thing starts when you get sick and tired of fucking doing it. When you want your life, when you just go, fuck it, I don't want to be a regular motherfucker no more. I don't want to be on probation no more. I don't want to fucking go to court no more. These are the things I don't want to do no more. That's when you see it. If you think that you're going to go to jail and get rehabilitated, that's a scam the American fucking public believes. There's no rehabilitation. That's why these guys go to jail and come right back out. Rehabilitation starts with you, bro.
No.
It starts with you. I love to tell you that you go in there and that you're healed. One day you go, how much longer can they kick me in the fucking ass for? What do I need to do to change this? How many fucking dicks or pussies do I have to fucking suck to see the light? And it's all, and one day you just stop, and there your life is. There's your fucking life. I have a friend that won't get off the fucking booze. She knows. She knows. You know, like I've said, all the answers to our lives, we have in our head. We just don't want to acknowledge them. You're 500 fucking pounds. You got to push yourself away from the fucking table. We know this.
Yeah.
We fucking know this. Everything else don't fucking help. You can do this, that, this. Jump. Oh, I'm going to drink white powder vinegar because it makes Madonna lose weight. Nothing. Nothing's going to help you. Anyway, we were talking about inspirations before. You know, when I give you guys movies or music, you know, like Constantine the other day about King of New York, I like movies that inspire me. I like people that fucking inspire me. You know, a lot of people don't know about Rodney Dangerfield, that he was a struggling comic for years. And one day he was forced to go back and work. And he went and he sold aluminum siding. And throughout that thing, he would write. He would fucking write every night because he had a dream about being a comedian. And I don't know the exact story. You got to go on Biography on AMC or read the fucking book. And then one day he got a shot again. And Johnny Carson put on a Tonight Show. And people couldn't believe this breath of fresh air. Because he had so much material written that every time he did a performance, it was a complete different set. So holy people shit. Were flawless. So, you know, the Harold Ramis talks about this role coming up in Caddyshack and how they wanted Don Rickles and da-da-da-da-da. No. They want motherfucking Rodney Dangerfield. And that they got Rodney Dangerfield, and at the first day of shooting, they did the scene and nobody laughed. And after the scene, they said, cut. A couple people giggled, and he went right up to Harold Ramis, and he goes, I want out. And he goes, why? And he goes, because nobody's fucking laughing. And he goes, no, this is a movie, stupid. Hit him. Hit him with the first scene from Caddyshack, Liz. I hope you guys have all watched Caddyshack. Go, brother.
Hey, where's the bar? Let's have some drinks here, see what's going on for crying out loud. Hey, waiter, here, this is for you, all right? Oh, Captain Hook. How about the grand you owe me, huh? Ah, forget about it. I'm just kidding, all right? Oh, this your wife. Oh, a lovely lady. Hey, baby, you're all right. You must have been something before electricity, huh? Okay. Hey, doll, how are you? You live alone? Bye-bye. Nice seeing you. Don't get your arm. Folks, how are you, huh? Oh, this your grandson, huh? Oh, wonderful boy. Nice boy, right? He's a good boy, okay? Now I know why tigers eat their young, you know?
God damn.
I haven't seen that for. I think it was over my head when I first saw it. Hey, sweetie, do you live alone?
I got tears in my eyes because after fucking 50 years, I'm still inspired by that. That's why I get up in the morning. Rodney's one of my biggest idols. Now, in 84, he comes out with a movie called Easy Money with Joe Pesci. Guys, nobody knows this fucking movie exists. This movie is a fucking masterpiece. Is it a comedic masterpiece like Young Frankenstein or one of those movies? No, it's not like that. But you just see, you know, we all grew up in Jersey. And if you watch this movie, it's about a guy who smokes dope. He fucking hates his mother-in-law, you know. And Joe Pesci's his best friend. And here's one of the most brilliant scenes I have ever seen in a movie. If you didn't watch Easy Money, his mother-in-law faced her death. And if Rodney could get his life in order over the next 60 days or whatever, loses 50 pounds and stops smoking, drinking, gambling, he gets the fortune. And, you know, he's not sure of himself. He's very insecure like we all are. Fuck it, I'm just going to keep partying. And he goes to the park with Joe Pesci. And I want you to listen to their conversation, but I also want you to listen to what's going on in the background. Hit it, Lee!
You know why I'm going through this whole thing, Nicky? For my kids, that's why. That's the greatest love in the world, your kids. You can't beat it, all right? That's why you do things, for your kids. That's love with your kid. Hey, see what I mean? See that man over there with his kid? That's love, you know what I mean? Look where he loves the kid there. He's bounced him on his knees. Look at that. That's love, baby. I tell you that.
There he is,
look at that, Nicky.
Oh, thank goodness he's all right. Martin, you're
what's
all right.
What's going on? I'm sitting here minding my business. He jumped on my lap.
Get away from my...
All right, everybody calm down. Do you have some identification, sir?
It's in my other raincoat.
That is the most brilliant comedy because it's not focusing on him. It's still focusing on Rodney and Joe Pesci, but that's going on in the third party. So do you understand when I fucking goof on these movies, I don't want you to people think that Joey's an asshole, he just goofs on my movies. No, because you're watching fucking junk. This is brilliance. That was thought out. The camera is on Rodney and Joe Pesci, but this is 40 yards away.
It's like the worst shot in movie history. If you did that at a film school, they'd flunk you out. It's them sitting at a picnic bench, and if you look all the way down the picnic bench, you see a guy, and like you can't even see the guy. It's a black like ball with, and you can't even see the guy bouncing, but they're just talking about him, and it's just...
It is just a beautiful fucking scene. When I tell you, Joe, these movies, I'm not busting your balls, guys, and saying that, you know, Hangover 2 blows. It does blow. there's nothing going to happen with it. 20 years from now, you're not going to look at your grandkids or your kids and go, you got to watch Hangover 2. But you will show them Young Fucking Frankenstein. And it's comic brilliance. You will show them a lot of these movies that I'll be showing you. Easy Money. I don't know how many people have come over here and I put Easy Money out for them. And they're like, Joey, what the fuck is this shit you're talking about? So today or over the weekend, you're looking for a great movie, do a fucking Rodney Dangerfield festival. Do Caddyshack. And do Easy Money and show your kids. I mean, the beginning, there's a scene in Easy Money. This is how the movie starts. And I wish I could play it for you. And I looked at the video, but I couldn't. I can't do it, Lee, because he's taking pictures of kids at a kids' party.
Uh-huh.
And the two kids get into a fight, the little girl and her boyfriend. They're five. So he comes over and he goes, what's going on? And she goes, he keeps hitting me with the thing. And he goes, well, what do you need him for? He's five. He pees in his pants. And the little girl's a cute little adorable girl. This is how the movie starts. And all of a sudden, Rodney goes, hey, what are you depressed about? And he takes out a puppy. And his puppy's name is Bobby Bunny. And he goes, hey, here's Bobby Bunny. And the kids all start yelling. And right there, three joints fall out of the glove. And the little kid picks up the joint. And he goes, what's that? And he goes, Bobby Bunny dropped a couple carrots. Right to how the movie starts. That's the first scene in the fucking movie. And you're going to come to me with your fucking bullshit comedies that are going on today? Go fuck yourself. Anyway, hit him, Lee, a little Ten Crack Commandments.
Oh, should I turn that off?
All right, fuck it. Then you're not going to hit him with the Ten Crack Commandments, cocksucker. What are you doing to me, Lee?
We already did it. I have the Orange Juice Jones waiting
I'm fucking high, that lollipop. I'm sorry. My memory's going. Anyway, listen. We're going to get the fuck out of here. Today was a kind of weird little fucking energy podcast. Did you feel the same? Or were we okay today?
I thought it was good. I mean, we all over the place, but fucking Alex, the phone calls, just from, because I don't really talk on them, the phone calls are great, just hearing the people. Like, I can't even imagine cutting blow and weighing blow
in a halfway house. And I was doing it on a magazine, so when you fold it, sometimes it ricochets out. So I went to fold the blow one, and it ricocheted everywhere, and that lady Tracy came in to do an inspection, and there's blow all over the carpet. And she looks at it and she goes, what is this? And we go, the ceiling. And she looks down and she goes, okay, clean it up. We're on our hands and knees eating it. I'm fucking eating it. My mouth was numb for a fucking week. BCTC.
The ceiling.
Boulder County Treatment Center. That's what the beauties of life is. Listen, I know it's Thanksgiving tomorrow. Myself and Lee are going to hook up at 9 o'clock Pacific, 12 o'clock Eastern, Jersey time, to do a special one-hour podcast. It's a family podcast. I'm going to have a couple of my family members call in. I'm thinking of having Ralphie May call in. A couple people just call in and fuck around tomorrow because Ralphie's having Thanksgiving at his house. Tomorrow's a time of year, man, where you get thanks. You sit around, you look at your family, who's ever there, who's never not there. You look around, you go, fuck, this is it. I made it another year, and now we got the holidays. And I want to thank you guys for the years we had together, from the CD to the documentary to the fucking testicle testaments, to coming to the show, to, you know, putting us up for Beauty and the Beast. And I mean, you guys have made my year. And Lee. I mean, Lee would just be a fucking lonely editor now. Now he's the flying Jew. He's got women farting in his fucking face. We could have never done this without you guys. I mean, from the bottom of my heart. You know how I feel. You know my sincerity for you motherfuckers. You know, I love what you guys do for me. And I love that you listen to the podcast and support us. My next big date is I'm not going to Austin with Joe because I got to go to New York and shoot the sci-fi thing. But my next big date is December 13th at San Diego at Madhouse Comedy. And then I'm doing the End of the World motherfucking show with him on the 21st of December.
Oh, shit.
Lee Syatt's coming down. He's going to be meeting some bitches down there. Like I said, I gave a shout out to everybody today, from Buffalo Frank to my MB Leaf girl, the one that's taking you to the fucking game. She's watching right now, you sexy motherfucking blonde, you.
Thank you. I can't wait. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Her and her husband, and you're going to double date. And thank you for the great year you've given us, podcast people, and everything. Twitter, Facebook. We fucking love you. I hope this one was a little funnier, but I got a fart, and I want you guys to hear it. Ooh! Who shot that duck? It ricocheted right off the chair, right into the back of my thigh. I'm going to have a little whitehead there for a couple days. I like ga-ga-ga-ga-ga-ga. Beside that, I love you motherfuckers. Thank you very much. Lee, what are you giggling about? You haven't even smelt the fart. I'm going to hold you in this hot box with this candle, and you're going to smell the whole patois, the muffler.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time.
That's because I love you, Lee. Lee, thank you very much. You're going to come over tomorrow, Lee?
Yeah, no, I want to say thank you. That's thank you for that, and thank you for this whole year. I told you I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for doing all this stuff, so it's fucking...
You would have left by now?
Oh, yeah. Wow. After that job was over, I wouldn't have been here.
Well, thank you very much. You're a top-notch producer and a great flying jewel. And let me tell you something else before we wrap up. I don't know what the fuck's going on with some of you people reading the what we do here differently or whatever. I know that Lee, some people have been attacking him on YouTube. I don't know if you motherfuckers know who Lee Syatt is. We don't like to flex our muscles over here at the church of what's happening now. But it's time we flexed our fucking muscles and let you know. The real reason how I got hooked up with Lee was I got a call from some fucking Jews I know from New York and asked me if I knew anybody in the film business that could help out their nephew or their great uncle or whatever the fuck this kid is, Lee. I was never going to put this out there. Lee's fucking bloodline go directly to Israel. You understand me? If you see Lee's fucking family, they're all a bunch of fucking those dark-skinned Jews throwing rocks. Number two, the other dark family line he's got to a man named Meyer Lansky. I don't know if you motherfuckers want to piss him off or me off. I'm associated with Meyer Lansky. Is so with fucking Lee. Do not fuck with Lee Syatt. I don't do it. I don't advise you motherfuckers to do it because you will wake up in a Jewish fucking body bag. You understand me? So keep it up fucking with Lee. You guys mess with Lee, you put your life into your own hands. Not by Lee. Lee's a sweetheart of a guy. He's never even mentioned this to you guys. He's never even flexed his muscles. This guy's bloodlines go direct to Meyer Lansky and all those blue-eyed motherfucking Jews over there killing people. So if you want to continue fucking saying Israeli jokes, he warned you guys on Facebook and he warned you again on the podcast. The rest is up to you. Don't come crying to me when you're missing a fucking arm and you got a yarmulke on your fucking head stapled on. You understand me? Those Jews will staple fucking yarmulkes to your head when you disrespect them. You ever have a yarmulke stapled to your fucking head? I don't think so. So don't fuck with Lee. All right? I'm sorry I had to flex my muscles and tell him about your family, Lee.
That's all right.
But it's time. You fuck with Lee, you fuck with Meyer Lansky, and you know what? You're all going to get beaten. It's not me. I don't mess with Lee. You don't hear me fucking messing with Lee. You don't see me messing with Lee. I got a call the other day not to get a big, heavy black chick to fart in his face because the grandmother find out and might throw him out of the will. But besides that, I don't bother Lee. I advise you'll wake up in the Pacific Ocean with a fucking thousand fucking, what do you call those, the candles that they hold the Jews? The candelabras?
Menorah.
Menorah stuck in your fucking throat. Don't come crying to me when you got 18 candle holes in your throat, cocksucker. All right, I love Lee Syatt. He's with the Lanskys. Enough said. Hit it, Lee. A little orange juice joints to get these motherfuckers going. Testicle Testament still on sale. What's the name of the album?
It's either You or the Priest.
You or the Priest is still on iTunes. Everything's still there.
Big thank you to Onnit.
Big thank you to Onnit. And don't forget, the 31st of December starting, everybody has their needs and everybody's going to set their little goals. Our goal together as a church of what's happening now is to be a little fucking healthier. You know, try the Hemp Force protein. Fucking the best protein I've ever had. Little strong bones. This combination, you know there's a money back guarantee. Go there, see what purchases you can make. If you're over fucking 250 pounds and you want to start running and doing the Dolce diet and all those things that come with it, get the strong bone. I'm telling you, bro, I've been walking lately. I got no fucking pains. I could jump up and down like Baryshnikov. What's the ballerina? I love you guys. Listen, if you don't tap in tomorrow, happy Thanksgiving. Do me a favor. Tap in tomorrow. I want to get fucking 90,000 people watching. Stick'em.com. I want to give a happy Thanksgiving to the Stick'em family, to Andy and the little fucking dude. And what's his name?
Efren.
Efren, that bad motherfucking Spanish dude. And to my girl over there and to everybody who support us and give us love, man. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll see you tomorrow, 9 a.m. Stay motherfucking black. Hit him, Lee, with some music there.
Oh, shit. Chill, that
was the bank. Listen to this shit. Dime. Just drops knowledge on this bitch.
And I wouldn't cancel all those credit cards. Yeah. All your charge counts. Yeah. I stuck you up every piece of jewelry I ever bought you. Yeah, that's right. Everything. Did fly with me. Nah, don't go looking in that closet. Cause you ain't got nothing in there. Everything you came here with is packed up and waiting for you in the guest room. That's right. What was you thinking about? Huh? What you trying to prove? Huh? This with the juice. You know, I gave you silk suits, Gucci handbags, blue diamonds. I gave you things you couldn't even pronounce. Now I can't give you nothing but advice, cause you still young. That's right, you still young. I hope you learn a valuable lesson from all this. You know, I'm gonna find somebody like me one of these days. Until then, you know what you gotta do? You gotta get on out of here with that alley cat coat wearing, hush puppy shoe wearing, crumb cake I saw you with. Cause you dismissed. That's right.